In Acts chapter number 16, and she's dedicated to the Lord and already pitching a fit. Devil don't like it, I promise you. Seriously, the devil don't like it for parents to be spiritually interested in their child and grandparents being interested in grandbabies. They can't handle that. Amen. You can't stand it. But as we prayed about the service this morning, and I had, even yesterday, God began to stir in my heart a couple of messages that I know that he's going to have us preaching. And I wasn't sure if I was going to maybe be preaching one of them this morning. It didn't have anything to do with mothers far as particular, but all of us, things that would apply. But the Lord led me last night, actually, because I just was uneasy about either one of those messages. And I said, Lord, they're feeding me, they're challenging me, they're speaking to me. But timing's important. And so I said, Lord, maybe, I don't know when you want them, and that's his business when he wants that. But I said, Lord, I know you have something for us. And so the Lord led my heart to Acts 16 to deal with a mother in the Bible by the name of Lydia. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody preach on Lydia or not. I don't know that I have. But Lydia, and we're going to start in verse number, the setting starts in verse 6, which you can read when you get home, where Paul gets the Macedonian call to verse number 9. He gets the Macedonian call, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So they've got a Macedonian call that God had called Paul and those with him to go there for the purpose of preaching the gospel unto them. So we come into verse number 11, and it says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to, you can stand, amen, in reference to the scripture. You didn't know if I was going to preach, read, or read, preach. And I wasn't really sure of that myself. If I pronounce this name wrong, you probably wouldn't know no difference anyway, but it's Samothracia, I think it is. Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. And whose heart, notice this, whose heart the Lord opened. And then she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's bow for a word of prayer and you be seated. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you will help us this morning to say what needs to be said, Lord. And I praise you for our mothers, those that still here, and those, dear Father, that have already been promoted to glory. Lord, we anticipate the grand day of reunion. Lord, when we will meet them again, those that were saved. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the testimony that my personal mother had left behind that leaves no question whatsoever in my mind as to, Lord, the future reunion day awaiting. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I've said it many times, the greatest thing that anyone can leave behind is a clear testimony that they know the Lord. And I pray, dear Father, that you would deal and speak with to mothers, encourage the mothers here today. And may your will be done, Father. Fill me the Holy Ghost and guide my thoughts, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to deal with Lydia, the seller of purple, and I want to talk about a mother's heart, the heart of a mother and the home of a mother, the heart and home of a mother. The mother in this passage, Lydia, in verse 14, the Lord is dealing with her heart. How many sees that in the middle part of the verse? Paul said that she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. So that's evident. The Lord was working on her heart, dealing with her heart, opening her heart. Because a person naturally, their heart is closed to God. Their heart is closed to the gospel. So she needs her heart open. And that goes along with some of the things that we'd said during the baby dedication, that they have a depraved nature and an anti-God bend about them. And their heart is closed toward God. Amen? It's natural for a child or an adult to run from God that's lost, as Adam and Eve did when God came to walk with them in the cool of the day, because they had sinned and now they were dead spiritually. They ran from God instead of running to Him and enjoying fellowship. So, verse 14, God is dealing with her heart. And we'll say some more about that in a little bit. But then you come down to verse number 15, and you find God now is starting to work in her home. Look at verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. So in verse 14, God's dealing with her heart. But verse 15, God's dealing with her home. Verse number 14, God is showing a work that He's doing in her. Verse number 15, God is showing a work that He's doing through her. And can I say here this morning that that is still the pattern? That is still the pattern for every person that God saves. He desires to work in your heart. That's His target. He targets the heart. Of course, the devil does as well. Because God and the devil both knows that whoever has control of the affections, whoever has control of the desires, will have control of the person. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If the devil can put a desire in you that is wicked and will even ultimately ruin your life, you'll pursue that. Why? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. Whatever your heart treasures, that's what you'll be after. That's where you'll pursue that. Amen? And so, but also the other is true as well. If God can work in your heart, turn the light on, let the light of the gospel shine into your heart. And let God give understanding that you need Him. Oh yes, and begin to work in your heart and open your heart to preaching and your heart to truth and open your heart to your need of the gospel. Who was it, brother? Was it you, Brother Scott, said something about being lost? Or who was that? No, it was Brother Trav. Receiving the offering, he's talking about being lost. I had to get lost before I could get saved. Amen? God opens your heart to that confession, to that conviction, to that reality that I am not a Christian. And if God works in your heart, hallelujah, a desire will come in with that to want to get saved. Amen? A desire will come in with that, that you will choose God, amen. You will choose salvation and eternal life. Apart from that, you never will. You never will. Well, I wasn't aiming to preach on all that right then, but that's all right. Lord knows how to pattern it and lay it out for us, don't He? But he works in her in verse 14. And mothers, if I could pinpoint you today and focus on you today and preach to you today, I would ask you to really make that a prayer. Oh God, work in me. Work in me. Listen, if God doesn't work in you personally, in your heart, it is unlikely that God is going to work in your home. Amen. Come on now. You can agree or not, it doesn't matter. The truth is, there's probably nobody on planet Earth has as much influence on the next generation as mothers. Amen. Now, fathers have their place. Someone said it like this, the father is the head of the home, but the mother is the heart of the home, and children are the hope of the home, the future of the home, the fruit, the outcome, the results, the consequence of the home. Amen. Every mother ought to have a desire, God, work in me. Help my heart to be open to what you say to me. Amen. That's what was stated there. Paul said, after having preached to her and to them, and evidently she was in the midst of those ladies that was there by the riverside, evidently, and she heard what Paul said, heard the preaching, and we know according to verse 10 what they went there to do was to preach the gospel. So she heard that, and her heart was open to that, meaning my heart is open to receive that. My heart is open. There's no blockage between you and a direct link to my heart. Amen. No blockage, no hindrances. My heart is not closed. Lord, when you come to me, it'll not be closed, but I'm open for you to speak to me. Amen. Listen, I'm not just talking about in conversion. I'm talking about after you get saved, as mothers, you ought to pray, oh God, my heart is open. If there's something in my life that needs changing, if there's something in my life that I need to address, my heart is open to that. Amen. Is your heart open to that? I believe that's a suggestion of submission too. My heart's open, Lord. Whatever you want to say to me, you preached to me through Paul. You gave us the word through Paul. My heart's open to that. Amen. I'm interested. My heart's open to that. Parents, one of the worst things you can do. Well, mothers, this is Mother's Day. Amen. A lot of things I'm going to say would apply to men, but you'll just have to apply it to yourself because I'm preaching to the mothers today. Are you listening? But if your heart's not open, you know who's behind that? The Bible said the Lord opened her heart. The Lord, whose heart the Lord opened. So the opening of the heart in a Godward direction is what God does. So if your heart is closed toward preaching and Bible principles, who do you think's behind that? I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. I believe if your heart is closed, even partially closed, to where you say, oh no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want that. You can believe this, friend. Generally, all Bible truth is going to go cross grain with your flesh. You can believe that. The flesh will never say, well, I like that. Well, I like sanctification. I like separation. I like that. I like repentance. No, the flesh will never say that. Your flesh will always seek to have your heart closed in that direction. But oh, let me ask you this. But here's what I wanted to say. And that's all right. It's in my heart, though. I know that. Listen, with her heart closed, if her heart had been, and it was closed before the Lord opened it, all right? God knew what the next verse was going to be. God knew that her household was evidently with her. She was from the city of Thyatira. It says that. But she was at Philippi, possibly on business. One writer said possibly she was at Philippi on business because she was a seller of purple. But then when I read, even just a while ago, I read in verse 14, 15, where her she gets baptized, her household, and then she said, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house. That, I don't think that could be talking about, all right, well, we're going back to Thyatira. I don't know how far that was. That's possible. I didn't even think to study on that to see the distance between Philippi and Thyatira. I know they was probably, I don't know how far that was. But there was a possibility that if it was a great ways off, a great distance, that she had a place there. She probably come to Philippi and work that maybe in a circuit where she would go somewhere to work. And also, can I say this? There's no husband mentioned. Lydia was doing what she was doing to feed and take care of her family, her children, her household, even without a husband. We don't have no information about why she didn't have a husband. Are you listening? He could have died early. He could have left her. A number of things could be brought into the equation. But the point is clear that she was busy. She was working. She was doing whatever she had to do to sacrifice for her household. Boy, that's a Proverbs 31 feature, isn't it? Thank God for mothers. They'll go without food just so the children have something to eat. We've all seen our mothers do that. Amen, that's right. We've seen them. Knowing good and well, they would have loved to have had that other piece of chicken or that other piece of cake or whatever. You know they would love to have it, but yet they said, no, no, I'm fine. I've had plenty. You go ahead and have it. That's the heart of a mother, isn't it? That's the desire of a mother. That's right. But here's the thing. God working in her heart in verse 14, He knew of the household that was with her in verse 15, and God never saves anybody just for that to be the end of it. God saves you that He might work through you. That God, yes, amen. God works in you that He might work through you. God would have never been able to do in verse 15 unless He had already been able to do in verse 14. Amen. And I want to say it again, mothers. One of the worst things you can do for your home is to close your heart to the things of God. Amen. Have no affection, no interest, no desire, no commitment to the things of God. One of the worst things you can do. Amen. Do you think you're going to give spiritual counsel, mothers, to your children if your heart's closed? Do you think that you're going to have a desire? Do you think you're going to have a prayer life for your children if your heart is closed? Amen. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but it's helping me. But Lydia had God to work in her heart, and then she had God to work in her home. Amen. Do you want God to work in your home? Do you want God to not just work in you? You want God to work in your children? Mothers, can I ask you a question the Lord just put in my heart? Do you have anything spiritually that you'd like to see God do in your children? You know what was going on here in verse 15, Brother Brad? Lydia was wanting God to do for her children what He had just got through doing for her. Do you have something spiritually? Do you have, as a mother, an experience with God that you would love to see God do in your children? And if that's the case, then more than likely, the children, that same scenario, the children raised by such a mother has probably saw something in the mother that they want in their life. Amen. Children learn a whole lot more from what they see than what they hear. Amen. You can tell them don't till you pass out, and many times they'll end up doing it anyway. But if they can see it in example, amen. Set it forth before them in example. Here is a mother that was just freshly saved, and she was a walking exhibit to her children of what God had just done. It's hard to win children of the Lord when you tell them your heart's open and your life is showing that it's still closed. Hard to win them to Jesus like that. Hard to win them. And that's your, listen, mothers, you're on a mission. I preached that here one time. Mothers on a mission. Your number one desire is not money and making money and a big bank account. Your number one chief desire is to win your children to the Lord. Amen. That's right. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Yes. So God is working in her heart. God's working in her home. Amen. Now, I really intended to start out dealing with the complications that was shown forth here, that there was no men. There was no spiritual men here. We have reference in verse number 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night that there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. A man, a single man, one individual man. Well, then you come down into verse number 12 and 13, and you see down by the riverside is a group of women going down there to pray. Where were the men? Where were the spiritual men? What about that? So Paul was going into an area where there was no men, no spiritual men at least. And I didn't know this till I studied on it. According to Jewish law and custom, it took 10 men to start a synagogue, to start a church, if you will. There was no synagogue in Philippi at this time. There was no church, if you will, in Philippi at this time. There wasn't even 10 men of that area. And I don't know what the population was. That would have been something else to have studied on. I don't know what the population of Philippi was. But there wasn't enough men, spiritual men, godly men, to be concerned about starting a church or starting a synagogue, if you will. So they were down, the women were down by the riverside having a prayer meeting. And by the way, that's where the church at Philippi started. That we read about, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, four chapters, a book after that name, started right here on this event, right here with these women hearing the gospel, Paul preaching to them, and a church was birthed and established. What about that? Amen. There was no men attended to prayer meeting. Where was they at? You know good and well some of these women, if not all of them, was married probably. Where was their husbands at? There's a great possibility that these women were God-loving, amen, Christians, and their husbands didn't care nothing about the things of God. That's a possibility on that. Amen. So there, it was that Paul was dealing with women in general in this prayer meeting. He went there and he began to preach to them. He began to preach to them, and they listened to what he said. They heard the message that he preached. But then you come from dealing with women in general to dealing with a woman particular, and that's Lydia. And there's a lot that could be said about Lydia. And a lot could be said about those women. This wasn't a fly-by-night prayer meeting. This was a usual. In fact, if you look back in verse 13 where it said prayer was wont. Do you see that? Prayer was wont, W-O-N-T, to be made. That word wont means prayer. It was usual for them. It was customary for them. In other words, it was something regular that these women would go out there to this particular place and to pray. Now, wait a minute. I want to ask you something. It's evident, I believe it's evident, that Lydia was in the mix. I don't have any reason to doubt that. Goes right out of dealing with the group of women in verse 13 and goes straight in with an and, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia. I think she was there. I think she was there and heard everything that was preached. The first question that came to my mind was, why was Lydia there? It's evident she's getting saved in this text. Why was she there? Listen, a lot of things could be thrown out there. One is that she evidently had confidence in those women. She'd been around those women and known those women, and something about those women and their realness and their spiritual life impressed her to the point that she was at least going along to the prayer meeting. Amen. Now watch this. Not only could that have been a possibility, the Bible said about Lydia in verse 14 that she worshiped God. I looked up that word worship. Guess what one of the definitions are? Religious. There were several people in the book of Acts that were religious but lost. Amen. What about the thousands of people in Acts chapter 2? Devout Jews that were, they come to Jerusalem to worship, but they were lost because there was 3,000 got saved in one time. Don't ever mistake religion to be salvation. Well, I've joined a church, preacher. I've been baptized, you know, whatever. I went to the altar or I've stood and confessed. Whatever it is, don't ever mistake religion to be salvation. It's not. They're not even a cousin. Amen. And you need to know the difference between religion and a relationship. So, but she was religious. Maybe that's why she went along with the ladies' auxiliary, the ladies' group, ladies' prayer circle. Maybe that's why, Brother Craig, she was there, is that she was just religious, you know, and it's time to go. They're going to pray, so I guess I'm going to go pray. And plus, those ladies that's going to pray wouldn't be interested in buying none of her purple, no way. So I'm going with you. Y'all ain't getting none of this, I can tell. But anyway, but Lydia, God had worked in her heart. God pinpointed her. Aren't you glad when God started getting personal with you? There was a time in your life you was in a group of sinners. You was just lost. You was in the mix. You was just in the mix. But then God says, but there was a certain Barry Ratcliffe that I got my eye on and I began to focus my attention on, that I began to speak to and that I began to deal with, and you can put your name there. Thank God for that. Oh, yes. And boy, when I thought about this morning, I don't know how far it was from Thyatira, where the Bible said she was from, and Philippi, I don't know, but I thought about the providence of God. How that God, before she ever knew anything, God was working in her, leading her providentially to get in the pathway of a preacher of the gospel, preaching the gospel in a prayer meeting. What about that? You didn't just wind up in church that day. You didn't just wind up turning the radio dial and hearing preaching. I want to tell you, God was working in your life to lead you and drive and steer you and direct you to get you where that you needed to be. Hey, man to God. We ought to shout about that. Hallelujah. God could have let Lydia just go on and in her way and died lost. But I want to tell you, providence got to work in her heart. And when she didn't have no clue what was going on, God was steering. You say, I don't know if I believe that. What about Acts chapter 9? The Apostle Paul, that was dead set against the gospel, in fact, was involved in persecuting the church. When he got saved, guess what he said? Oh, it's hard to kick against them pricks. That ox goad, Brother Jackie, you know that they would use to, when an ox or would start to get off course, they'd take that prick and gouge it, you know, and it would bug it back on course. Paul said, I wasn't aware of it all, but there was God was pricking me through my journey to get me to this place where I'm at. It wasn't an accident that Paul held the coats of them that stoned Stephen. That wasn't an accident. Amen. I think that Stephen was probably the chief influence that one that ended up winning Paul to Christ. He never got over that day watching Stephen die by the grace of God and watching that glow on him, watch him having his focus set steadfastly into glory. Amen. And testified to that effect. He wasn't just looking up, but he also spake. He said that he saw the glory of God and Jesus Christ standing at the right hand. Now why? Why would he say that when he was seeing that? He wanted them to know. And standing close by was a little small lad of a boy named Saul that one day got saved, became Paul the Apostle, that brought the gospel to the Gentile world. Oh, yes. Saul, as a boy, Brother Brad heard Stephen pray, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." The very ones that were stoning him. You know what probably went through his mind, Brother Scott? Probably went through little Saul. Probably went through his mind and said, "I don't know what this boy right here's got that's dying, but it's real. He's being stoned to death, but yet he's got forgiveness in his heart. Hey! He's being stoned to death, amen. But he's talking about being able to see all this heavenly stuff going on. Providence got her, worked in her life to get her to where she needed to be. Man, there's all kinds of illustrations about that. What about old Simon, the one that helped bear the cross? Simon of Cyrene. You know how far he was away from home? 500 miles. Hello. 500 miles away from home, but he was on target. And he just so happened, yeah, coincidence. No. He just so happened to be there the day Jesus is going to be crucified. And not only did he just happen to be there, he just happened to be in the line, in the path of the event where Jesus was going from the whipping post, amen, to the cross. And he was bearing his cross. And Simon just happened to be there. And Jesus, not due to weakness, but probably due to purpose, dropped the cross or fell under the cross right where Simon was at. Y'all don't see that? He could have done that anywhere. He done it on purpose. You know that, don't you? You say, but he was weak. Oh, hey, he came to this world to go to the cross. He couldn't have died in Gabbatha's hall. He could not have died at the whipping post with the cat of nine tails. He could not have. He had to die on a tree. Cursed is the man that hangeth on the tree. He had to go to the cross. But as he was going up through there, and I'm telling you though, now he had very little blood left in him. If you've studied the scourging, and he's carrying that cross up through there. And he was probably, it was on his shoulder, so he was probably looking. He said, "Oh, there he is." 500 miles being led and controlled, guided by providence, there he is. Talking about Simon. I need him to get a hold of the end of this cross so he can get a bird's eye view of the Lord Jesus Christ going up the hill called Calvary. Hello, you know good and well that got a hold of him. In fact, hello, he got saved. 500 miles God led him. He didn't know God was leading him. Well, amen. I don't know. There's a lot of religious people in the book of Acts that got saved. Cornelius got saved, religious, but lost. Saul of Tarsus got saved, religious, lost. Ethiopian eunuch, he got saved, but he was religious. Hey, man, he just got back from Jerusalem, went there, was coming back on his chariot reading Isaiah 53. Oh, you talking about religious? God sent the man of God, Philip, to join up with him. And the chariot, oh, Brother Hanley Milby preached a message out of that on chariot to the chariot. If you ever heard Brother Hanley Milby preach, ain't nobody preach like him. He gets to preaching like this. He said, I'm going to preach today on chariot unto the chariot. Amen. And Philip, chariot in full stride, Philip ran and joined himself. Hey, God get on a man, he can outrun a horse, praise God. Amen. Hey, that's right. So we have here, he's dealing with Lydia. Let me give you this. I'm not going to get done, but I'm going to give you this. Two of these things I've already dealt with, so I don't have to go back and deal with those. But before he ever started dealing with her heart in verse 14, and God dealing with her home in verse 15, the first thing that had to happen was he had to get her hearing. Look what it said in verse 13. The Bible says, and Lydia was in with them, we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Comes into verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Before God ever had her heart, he had her ear, he had her hearing. And I know that may be elementary preaching around here because we've heard it so much, but listen, there's a connection between your hearing and your heart. As a man, listen, the Bible talks about faith cometh by what? Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a connection there. Listen, God will never work in your heart if you're not hearing, if you don't have a hearing ear. And that's not talking about physically just, okay, preacher, I hear what you say. You know, I hear that racket. I hear it. No, I'm talking about hearing with the purpose because you're interested in what's being said. You're interested in what's being said, and you're not just hearing it. You're interested in being a hearer and one that hearkens, one that heeds. Amen. God will never do a work in your heart till he does a work in your hearing. Amen. If you close your ear off to the Word and to the Gospel and the Holy Spirit, then your heart likewise will be closed. Her ear was opened. Her heart was opened. Her home was opened. Everything was opened when Jesus came along, when God done a work. But prior to that, everything was closed. Her hearing was closed. Her heart was closed. Her home was closed. But God done a work in her with her hearing. The Bible said in verse number 14, they heard us. And as a result, look at it, they heard us, and then it goes right out of that and says, whose heart the Lord opened. That's how the Lord works in you, is by you hearing. I believe this, that whoever has control of your listening has control of your living. Because whatever you listen to or whoever you listen to is leading you. God is focusing his attention on your ear, your heart, your hearing, because that's the access to your heart. God is interested in that this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, that's right. The word heard us means to give audience to come into the ears for the purpose of hearkening. Look what it says, the last part of verse 14. The Lord opened, whose heart the Lord opened, look at this next statement, that she attended. Lydia heard and now she is heeding. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What about that? She heard, she heeded. Her heart was open now, and business picks up. Amen. Well, I like that, don't you? I can't tell you the people, and I'm not going to even attempt it this morning, that I've seen in the ministry, in my ministry. Not people I've read out of a book. I'm talking about people that I know, that I've seen them have an ear to listen, an ear to hear, and I've watched them. I mean, I've watched them. I could almost pinpoint when they turned their ear off to God. Amen. I've watched them have a heart seemingly open to God, interested seemingly in God. And then I watched them, it was almost a clear spot where they very visibly start making a carnal and a worldly and a fleshly a turn in their life. You know what does that? It's when they turn that ear off and their heart is closed and they make a choice. I'm not really interested in that. I'm going with the world. And without fail, Brother Carroll, everyone that I've seen do that ends up in misery, ends up with scars in their life. Serious business when you turn your ear off. It's serious business when you quit listening. When you turn your heart away from preaching and turn your heart away from the things of God and your ear now is starting to be open to the voices of the world and the music of the world. Listen, don't be surprised at what shame and shambles and wreck you end up in. Oh, yeah. I've referenced this letter several times. A young man that used to go here years ago when I first come writes a handwritten letter from inside of a prison with tear stains on it, 4 or 5 pages, front and back. First name's Ricky, and he said this in that letter, jest of it, I wished I'd have listened. I wished I could go back and sit in your Sunday school class again and listen. I don't know when it was, Brother Aaron, but there was a point that Ricky come to where all of a sudden now I'm at a crossroads. I want everybody to listen. Everybody listen, young people. He come to a crossroads in his life to where hearing God and going with God and God calling him was on one side. And on the other was going with the world and the voices of the world and the attractions and the appeal of the world. And at the crossroads, he had to make a choice. And every time I've seen it so many times, he took a turn in this direction, which closed his heart and ears to the things of God. And his life has been a wreck. Are you listening? Oh, yes. We got a letter back early this year from our jail bag ministry across the street of a young man that spoke to me personally one-on-one after a Christmas play one night about his need of the gospel, about his need of being saved. Him and his wife both lost without God. He was at a crossroads. Are you listening? He was at a crossroads. Am I going to listen to God and heed God and have God, or am I going to listen to this side? And he listened to the wrong side, wrong voice. And he writes in that letter, you remember I read it to you, that he expressed his regret. I believe that boy could have got saved. There's no doubt about it. He could have got saved and soon would have gotten saved. But he made a choice to listen to the wrong voice. Are you listening? I mean, I could identify, I could tell you even who the voice was, but it's not important this morning. He did listen to the wrong voice. Pulled him in this direction. Now he's right across the street. Last time I checked, he's still across the street, still lost without God. Home blowed all to pieces, lost his wife, lost his job, lost everything. He went the wrong way. His ear was open to the wrong voice. Young people, let me just say this in general, if whatever voice you're listening to, and your heart is interested in, is pulling you away from truth and pulling you away from church and pulling you away from preaching and godly fellowship, you mark it down. God is not in that. Amen? Chances are, listen, chances are Lydia wouldn't have got saved. Brother McCarricker, Lydia probably wouldn't have got saved had she not been running with them praying women. It matters who you run with. It matters who your friends are. Hey, man, she was running around with a crowd friend that had a habit of praying. It was usual for them to pray. Oh, they're going to pray again. I guess we're going down to the river. Yes, we're going to the prayer grounds. It's a funny thing to me that Paul knew where to go to find them. I believe it was just a known thing that this women's group, ever how big it was down by the river praying. Amen. It matters who you run around with. Her hanging around that crowd, probably all they talked about was prayer and talked about God doing something, and y'all pray that God get a hold of these men in town. We could, amen, praying God send us some help. Their praying may have had something to do with that Macedonian call. Have you ever thought of that, Brother Fultz? Paul had that vision, you know, in his sleep that a man from Macedonia is saying, come over and help us. Maybe that was an answer to those women praying. I don't know what his name was. Maybe his name was George. Maybe the women had George on the prayer list. He was the only man spiritual in town. They might have been praying for George. Lord, we need help over here. Is that right? Need help over here? What was the call? Come over and help us. Come over and help us. Amen. Well, anyway, here was a mother that God had worked in her heart. Well, actually, God worked, you could say God worked in her head first with her hearing. God worked in her heart. And then now in verse 15, God works in her home. Amen. And look what it says. I'm right now done. Look at verse number 15. And when she was baptized and her household. What about that? That sounds like Acts 16. A little bit later on in this same chapter, the Philippian jailer getting saved. And his household got saved and was baptized. And she besought us, saying, look at this statement. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. He said, she said to the men, and we don't know how many was with Paul. He used plural pronouns. We come, us. God has called us, verse number 10, for to preach the gospel unto them. So Paul had some more with him, right? Paul had some more with him. So look at it. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, what she's saying was, Paul, inspect me. If you have inspected my life and there's evidence that I'm saved, that I'm true, that's what that word means right there. You found me to be faithful to the Lord. You found me to be true, that I am really a Christian. He said, I want you to come into my house. Isn't that something? God stirred her heart up. Not just toward her household, but God stirred her up concerning her house. She wanted to be a blessing to those that had just got through winning her to Jesus. Amen? He said, if you judge me faithful, she did, said that, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And look at it. Look at the same chapter. Look at verse 40. I saw this morning. This is after Paul and Silas have been beaten. In the Philippian jail, their backs bleeding, feet and hands in the stocks, Brother Mark. And they finally get out, make a long story short, they finally get out. Verse number 39, people desired them to depart out of the city. Look where they went. Paul and Silas, scarred and beaten and bleeding and bruised and battered. Look where they went. Verse number 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. What about that? When they got out of the prison in such bad shape, not bad shape spiritually, they were in great shape spiritually. Singing and praising God at midnight, backs bleeding, I guarantee you, that's good. They were in good shape. But physically, they weren't in good shape. But after they got out, they could have went anywhere, but it was in their heart. I tell you where we can go, and somebody will treat us with kindness. And somebody will treat us with generosity. And somebody that will care for us. And that's Lydia. And they made a trip to her house. What about that? I don't know. I've never studied it out. Could it have been that the church at Philippi may have started in her house? I don't know. That's just a thought. Her house meant something to the men of God that Paul, I don't know. Mothers, the basic challenge here today is have your ear open to God. Have your heart open to God. And let God work in your home. Have your home open to God. Is your children accessible to God? Have you made sure there's no blockages between God and your children? Have you made sure that your home does not have anything in it that the devil can use to blind and keep your children lost? That's a good question. Lydia, I'll meet her one day. Amen. Boy, she had an appreciation, didn't she, of those that won her to Christ. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you. Amen. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father, for challenging my heart, Lord, even with these principles and these truths about Lydia. And Lord, I ask that, God, that you would help the mothers here today to look at their own life in light of the things that we brought out, and there's several more things that could be mentioned. There in those verses about Lydia, more applications, more truths. And Lord, I want to thank you that she got saved and how you worked in her life providentially, how you worked in her life to get the man of God and the preachers and the preaching to be to where they needed to be. It wasn't an accident that Paul and them was just, that Paul had that call to come over to Macedonia and help. It wasn't an accident that Paul was there at that prayer meeting that day. That wasn't an accident that he was preaching the gospel that day. It wasn't an accident Lydia was there. Lord, I ask you today, Father, to help the mothers in here today to realize that what God does in the children, largely, not exclusively, but largely, is connected to the mother. There are some exceptions. There's been some times that children have gotten saved and live for God that did not have a godly mother or father. And we're thankful for the grace of God in that regard. But generally, Lord, the rule is that mother being poured out spiritually into those children. And where that child will be spiritually in the years to come is connected largely to the influence of that mother. And Lord, I want to thank you even now for the influence that my mother had in me, on me. Thank you, Lord, for her example, Lord. I had confidence in and still have confidence in the life that my mother lived. Lord, my mother wasn't a hypocrite. Lord, my mother wasn't one thing at church and another thing at home. Lord, I want to thank you for my mother's consistency. I want to thank you, Lord, for her love. God, her love and generosity and care to want to be a blessing to the men of God. Lord, many of the great men of God that have blessed my life in the past, Mays Jackson, Dr. Seitler, many others have sat at our table and ate mama's cooking. Because she just want to be a blessing to the men of God. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, what a heritage that I have. And Lord, I ask you, Father, today that you'd do a work in the mothers. Lord, that they would realize the responsibility that lies upon them to reach their children for the glory of God. Oh, Father, help us. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, many, many, many children have been saved over the years because of the influence and the inspiration of a mother, godly, praying mother. Lord, please help the mothers here today to afresh and anew, renew their commitments and their vows to you to be a godly, godly, praying, Jesus-loving, church-involved, sinner-loving mother. Please help us, I pray today.